And all guns should be Glocks, all Glocks should be 9mm and Model 19. A generation for...
Hi folks, Bob Main here with another episode of the Handgun World Podcast. I carry a gun because I can't carry a cop. Welcome to a practical show done by a practical, everyday sort of guy, and that's me. Well, this episode, I've got Gary Slider from HandgunLaw.us joining me for an excellent interview. HandgunLaw.us. If you don't already know about that website, you need to, as soon as you get done listening to this, you need to go to HandgunLaw.us. It's a great resource for concealed handgun and just general gun laws throughout the all 50 states of the United States. It's kind of like the internet resource. And Gary's got a lot of stuff he wants to talk about, a lot of really cool stuff. He sent me an outline. I've seen what it is that he wants to cover. So I'm not going to steal any of that thunder. We'll wait till we get to the interview. I want to clarify something that I said last week in the most recent episode. I was talking about keeping guns away from minors. A lot of you have emailed me about this. Obviously, it got some of you making some comments. Let me clarify. If you've been following my podcast for some time, you've known that I've said many times, I've said this many times, I don't believe in kid-proofing your guns. I believe in gun-proofing your kids. I'll say that again. I don't believe in kid-proofing your guns. Gun-proof your kids. Teach them, train them, take away the curiosity, even take them shooting. That's the best way. If you go back and you want to listen to some old episodes of mine, listen to episode 47 and 67. In episode 47, I talked about kids and guns, and in episode 67, I talked about storage of handguns. Now, here's what I meant by my statements last week. And by the way, I told the story about a 17-year-old kid that brought three guns to my son's high school that he got from his parents. Now, he's not a minor because in the state of Texas, under 17 is considered a minor. We do have a law here in Texas. There is a law regarding giving minors access to handguns. It is against the law, and I'm pretty sure it's a Class A misdemeanor if you violate this. If you allow a handgun to be accessed by a minor without you knowing about it. Now, here's my thoughts on this. Okay, again, gun-proof your kids. In this situation and in many others, when we see young people committing violence, we see a lot of disturbed kids. We see a lot of young people who really have some mental issues, some psychiatric issues. Maybe they come from severely broken homes. Who knows what it is? There's all kinds of things that cause some of these young kids to commit violence. And a lot of times they take their parents' guns and they go commit that violence. Well, you're in some pretty hot water if that happens in the state of Texas. I realize that there are some other states where maybe that law doesn't exist. My thoughts are this. There are plenty of ways to secure guns that gives you excellent access, quick access, but doesn't give minors access. Why not do both? Why not gun-proof your kids and secure your guns? How about that? I grew up in a household where the guns were in a gun cabinet that was not locked, and my dad had all long guns. He didn't have any pistols, but pretty much any time I wanted, I could go in there and I could grab one of Dad's shotguns or rifles and take it out of the case. I didn't do that because my dad was very diligent about making me take hunter safety. He took me out hunting. He was a safety fanatic. Stepdad's the same way. After my real father passed away and my stepdad took over, same thing, very much a safety fanatic and took away the typical curiosity that most kids have about guns. That's the way I grew up. Now, not all kids are growing up that way. And that's a problem that I think we have here in the United States, is not all kids are growing up around firearms and being taught the proper safe handling of firearms. Yet these same parents who are neglecting to gun-proof their kids, these same parents who are not training their kids, are leaving their firearms accessible to these kids. Do you see a problem with that? That's my point. I hope you see a problem with that. Now, what should be done about it? That's the big question. Well, I don't believe in any government intervention. So before some of you start getting real excited and, oh my God, what did Bob say? I don't believe that the government should be getting involved in telling parents how to raise their kids and how to teach their kids about firearms. I don't have a problem with Texas's law that makes it against the law, and that you commit an offense if a minor gets a hold of one of your guns and commits a crime. And you could gun-proof your kids, but what if your kid has a friend over? Right? What if your kid has a friend over and that kid's not gun-proofed and your firearms are accessible to your kid's friends, and one of your kid's friends gets a hold of one of your guns? You know, shouldn't you be responsible for that? I don't have a problem with that. That's just my personal opinion. I think it's okay. You know, you're guilty of an offense if that happens. So guess what? You as an adult, as a parent, need to be responsible, and you need to teach your kids properly about firearms and gun-proof your kids. And I do think you need to keep them away from easy access by a minor. Now, I carry all the time at home. I carry a gun all the time on me at home. Yes. Why do I carry it home? Because there are so many times that you hear on the news about home invasions. Think about it this way. If you want to carry a gun in a place where you might need a gun, home is a great place to start. Right? What if there's a home invasion? And besides that, the safest place that I can keep a handgun is on my body. That's the safest place I can keep it. Now, next to my bed is a push-button safe that I can open pretty quickly. I'm thinking about getting a different style that's even faster. I'll talk about that in another show. I don't want to take up too much time on this one. But I can access that gun pretty quickly. There's a lot of really good push-button safes. Gun Vault is what I use. Gun Vault makes excellent safes. There's lots of them. There's some that don't make any noise, which that's kind of what I'm thinking about going to. There are biometric versions and things like that. But there's all kinds of safes where you can access that firearm quickly, especially a handgun. Most people I know that are responsible, their long guns are locked up in safes, or they're within their control, right? You might have a shotgun or a rifle next to your bed when you're sleeping, and it's within your control. It's in the same room. Might be kind of tough for a minor to get a hold of that. And I would suggest that if you are going to have children, minors, over to your house, that you secure that gun or at least unload it somewhere, just in case a kid comes over that's not gun-proofed. Okay? So anyway, I wanted to put this out there and make this clear. Because some of the emails that I got from some listeners, they kind of had the tone that I didn't believe in gun-proofing your kids. My gosh, folks, come on. I've said it many, many times over the 278 episodes that I've done, and I've dedicated a couple of podcasts to it, that I certainly believe in that. All right, so anyway, that's the point I was trying to make. One person asked me, well, then, you know, if you don't believe in, or he asked me, how do you feel about quick access to your firearm if you think it should be in a safe? Quick access. In other words, in case you have to use it to defend yourself. Again, there's lots of ways you can do that. There are a lot of safes that are excellent for that, and I would suggest that you look into that. Okay, that's how I wanted to start the show. Here comes a quick break, and then we'll go into the interview with Gary Slider of HandgunLaw.us.
Good afternoon. This is your captain speaking with just a little flight information. Coming up on the left, we're going to be catching a glimpse of the Grand Canyon. On the right, you can be able to see the Hoover Dam in just a few minutes. We're flying at an altitude of 37,000 feet, and our airspeed is 400 miles an hour. Couple little facts here. I'm packing a Colt King Cobra. That's a 357 caliber firearm with a black rubber grip and a 6-inch barrel. Also, the co-pilot is carrying a Kimber custom defense pistol with all the bells and whistles you'd expect from a custom gun of that kind, with an alloy frame and bevel treatment on the entire gun. And our chief flight attendant, Roger, has a Ruger Bearcat .22 with a hand-fluted cylinder. All three are capable of piercing body armor at a distance of up to 27 feet, and it can put a hole in human bone and flesh the size of the Grand Canyon, which, by the way, is coming up on the left-hand side of the plane, so just sit back and relax and enjoy the rest of the flight.
Well, Gary Slider is back for this segment, for this episode. Gary is the owner of the great website, handgunlaw.us. Gary, welcome back to the show.
Oh, glad to be here.
I appreciate it. You know, the last podcast interview we did, for people who don't remember that, it was episode 254. If you're a new listener to my show, you can hear the first podcast we did. Go back to episode 254. Gary, that was very well received. I got a lot of nice emails from people that really liked it.
Thank you. I enjoy talking about this.
Well, I can tell you enjoy it, and your website is a great resource. So you must really like this, to put together this website that you do.
Well, the thing of it is, Steve Akins takes care of the website. When I mean takes care of it, he's the guy that designed it, and he's the guy that keeps it online. Steve lives in New Mexico.
Yes.
I've met him one time. I flew out there and shot the New Mexico IDPA shoot. It's been two falls ago, and met him for the first time. And I think we've had the site now for 8 years. We're going on 8 years. And but I enjoy doing this. I've been doing it since 1995. Not on handgunlaw.us. I started with, it was a one page deal with a guy in Hawaii, and that morphed into packing.org, and I left it in 2004, I think it was. Just too much garbage going on there then. And
yeah.
Steve called me, wanted me, and we started Handgun Law in February 2006. And it when we first started, it gave a lot of information, but the way we got laid out now is a whole lot better. I think we went to this layout in about 2008, and it breaks it down by each state a whole lot better. And every state page is about exactly the same, just about the same exact sections on every state page. But what I find out about people is, in the computer age, I'm 63 years old, retired, been retired for 6 years now.
Yeah.
That they want an instant answer right now. Everybody thinks they can make a click and the answer will be right there in front of them. And it doesn't work that way in a lot of things, especially with the laws, because every state is different. Every state has different things. And it's difficult, but I really enjoy doing this.
Yeah, well, it's a great resource. So if somebody's new to listening to my show, or even new to carrying a firearm, you need to go to handgunlaw.us. That's .us at the end of it. I kind of consider it one of my go-to resources when I want to look up, for example, what states accept my permit, or, you know, have there been any changes in laws lately? You're kind of one of my go-to sites. I appreciate that.
Well, this is the thing. I laid out this. I've been carrying a firearm for 30 plus years, and I laid out a state page, each state page. I said, what information do I want? And then I've talked to a lot of different people over the years, and what information are they wanting about concealed carry? The thing of it is, I can't answer all the questions on the state page. It's impossible to do. There are just so many questions, you can't answer them all.
No.
And so that's the reason on each state page I have links to that state's sites that give information about the same thing. So, because I tell everybody, don't believe anything you read on the internet.
Exactly. Well, don't believe, let's put it this way, don't believe everything. You know, there's a lot of good information.
The problem is there's a lot of erroneous information out there. And you have to watch. And that's why I try to put links to things that so they can confirm the information that I have there. And that I think that is really important. And go read the law yourself, because I'll tell you, you can tell lawyers write them. Some states are really great. They got really plain wording. Some states, I mean, they go into the legalese all over the place, and it makes it very difficult to actually understand the law. And sometimes the courts can't even decide. I don't really know what it means. And it's really difficult. Really difficult.
And I think it's good that you put, links. And if you look at the page on his website, if you go to your state's page, you put all the links up there in the upper right hand corner so that they can go to the actual state website.
Right. And I put everything there. I try to put everything there. Everybody wants to see an application. What do they want? You know, with this. There's a couple of states I can't find it. I think Wyoming is one of them. I can't find an application online.
Really?
But some states, most of the states are very good about it. Actually, things become a lot better after 9/11. And the reason they became a lot better and a lot more information became available was just the states and the federal government didn't want letters because of the anthrax deal that happened shortly after 9/11. And they wanted everything electronic now. And that's one thing I want to tell the listeners out there. Politicians pay attention to emails now, especially if you sound like you know what you're talking about and you just don't scream and holler at them. They will listen to those emails because that's the way they want to communicate now. It's a lot safer for them that way.
Well, and I think you just mentioned something important, Gary. You said don't scream at them. You know,
yeah.
I mean, I get emails of people screaming at me occasionally. And, you know, well, Gary, sometimes I'll say something on this show that'll rub somebody the wrong way or they disagree with it and they scream at me. And now I have a voicemail line and occasionally people call up and scream at me on voicemail. And, you know, I mean, I've been in the communication business for 28 years, communication and sales business. And I've learned you don't get very far screaming at people.
No, you don't. And you can't please everybody all the time.
Nope.
You can't do it. I have people saying, why don't you add this to site? And actually, the pages are getting too big now. I hate to add any more to them. And the reason I hate to add any more to them because it takes too long to load. People, especially with their little phones and their little things now, they want, like I say, they expect instant gratification, instant answer right now. And you have to I have people send me emails says I can't find my state page. All they got to do is read the first paragraph in the upper right hand corner and it tells them how to do it. And they won't even read that. So the thing of it is there is such a wealth of information on the site. I mean, it is amazing how much information is there. If you scroll along the top there where it says law links and law links to and travel links, each one of them open up 7 different links for those things. Travel links, there's links to all the airlines and their special baggage. It's very simple to fly with a handgun.
Yes, it is.
Any gun. If you just follow the proper procedure. And the procedure isn't that difficult.
No, it's not. Okay. It's not. And as a matter of fact, and if somebody's not real internet savvy, of course, if they're listening to this podcast, they're probably internet savvy because that's how you get this podcast. But even so, even if you're not, you can simply pick up the phone and you can call the airline itself that you're flying on, and they'll tell you how to do it.
Yeah, most of them, ammunition is the big thing. Most of them only allow you to, most of them say 11 pounds of ammunition. That one of those small, cheap airlines, I think they went with Southwest. They said that only one firearm per passenger would be transported in the checked baggage. That's the only one I've ever seen have anything like that. But I've never had any trouble. I've flown with my handgun many, many times. And it's actually got me through long lines quicker because I have to have special attention. And they'd be coming around saying, anybody have special things they got to have? And I go,
yeah.
Got to check a firearm. And they took me right up there and took care of me.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I know.
And,
well.
And every airport does it different. Every airport handles things a little bit different. But,
Yeah, they do.
There's a lot of exciting things happening right now. You know, Illinois has concealed carry now. What people don't realize is the way Illinois' law is worded, I mean, you can tell that it was a bunch of lawyers who written it. But they say if you have a permit that's valid in the state you're in, you can carry a firearm in the state you're in, as long as you stay in your vehicle and you're traveling through Illinois, you can keep it on your hip concealed. You just can't get out of that vehicle and put your foot on the ground with a loaded firearm on you. You can leave it loaded, locked in your glove compartment in your locked car, but you just can't get out of your vehicle with it. The problem is I have seen three different emails that people have sent me from the Illinois State Police, and they're not, the way the law is worded, if you can carry in your own state on a permit or some way, you can carry an elk through Illinois. But the state police in Illinois are saying a permit from your home state. So that
yeah.
looks to me like how they're going to interpret the law.
So what you're saying is if you're just driving through Illinois and you don't get out of your vehicle, you're fine.
You're fine. You're fine now. And that's anywhere in Illinois. See, when they passed the law, they preempted all the handgun laws in the state. There are no magazine bans now on handguns in the state. The cities and the local communities can keep their bans and stuff on long guns, but they all the handgun laws have been preempted. And there's another good. There's three or four cities in Chicago. Chicago and three or four other cities in Illinois that have a ban on lasers attached to a handgun.
Wow. Well, whatever.
So don't take. Keep your laser at home if you're going to go through Illinois, and you'll be fine.
Those dangerous lasers, those are terrible, aren't they?
Yeah, but this is the whole problem, see? And there are just so many differences in everything. It's not that difficult to keep up. But keeping a site up, it's easy to put out a website or an app with this information.
Well, I was going to ask you about that.
It's not that hard to do. The problem is, what takes all the time is keeping it updated.
How do you do that?
Well, I've been sitting here for the last hour and a half, working on, all I was doing was checking all the links on different state pages. I checked about 8 or 9 different state pages, checked every link, made sure they worked, made sure they went where they wanted to go. I noted it on the page, changed the date on the page. It'll be posted tomorrow night or the next morning early, and it'll have a new date on it. It'll have 5/9/14. You go scroll to the bottom of the page, it'll tell you what was changed. It'll say, all links checked. Now, I did make some changes because, like say, Washington State now will honor Kansas, and the Kansas AG said that Virginia would honor too, but Virginia actually mentioned that. They actually posted that on the website that they would honor Kansas back in February. And Kansas is just now saying that Virginia will honor them. But they have picked up the state of Washington. And Washington's a tough state to get. This only makes 13 states that Washington will honor.
Yeah. Yeah. And I've always wondered how you keep up with all that. And by the way, I want to make a clarification on something earlier that you said. I've flown Southwest Airlines many, many, many times. And I've actually gone with two guns before, and they didn't have a problem. It might have been a different airline you were referring to. Might have been somebody else. But it is a good idea if someone is going to be flying just to double-check with the airlines.
Yes. It doesn't hurt to call them. It doesn't. The problem of it is they're getting a lot more used to it now, too. And before, previous years, there wasn't that many people flying with firearms.
Right.
And a lot of you'd talk to this, and they'd say, what do you mean? Now, they all seem to know. I haven't, like I say, in the last 6-8 years, it's been snap, snap, snap. They know exactly what to do, and it's done.
Yeah.
And it's very simple to do. But a lot of things have been changing, and there's a lot of changes coming here in the 1st of July. Georgia, man, oh boy, I know all the listeners out there have been hearing about the Georgia law, which you can carry everywhere.
Yeah.
Georgia's law, that's not a carry everywhere law. I mean, it's, if you want a carry everywhere law, you need to look at the state of Kansas. If I could live in any state with the gun laws that they have and have to live under them, I'd wind up living in the state of Kansas.
Really?
They've got the best gun laws going. I mean, in the next, by January 1st of 2018, any city, county, or state building that doesn't have metal detectors and an armed guard, they can't keep you out.
Oh, really?
Yes, and it's not only that. Their law specifically states, if a CCW holder happens to walks past a no-gun sign, which the Attorney General has approved signage, they have to ask you to leave first.
Really?
There's only a couple, three places that's really off limits. And again, if they got the signs posted, They've got the most wonderful laws in the world out there. I mean, in Kansas, and Kansas isn't having any problems, and Georgia's light years behind them, even with their new law that takes effect July 1. And starting July 1, Kansas preempted all firearm laws at the local level, even on open carry. So they cannot have any laws other than what the state has on open carry. And
that's cool.
They even preempted all the knife laws. You can carry any knife you want now in Kansas after July 1st.
After July 1st. Well, that's cool.
You need to go out there and read that. I mean, it's really surprising. And you never read anything hardly about it. And then you look at Georgia, and they just said you can carry in a bar, but they can still post a bar. You can carry in a church if you get the person in charge of the church is okay. You can carry in the church.
Yeah.
And at the airport, they think it's a big deal. You can carry in a non-stereo over the airport. In a majority of states, you can do that.
Yeah.
They get out there and they get screaming about some of these things. You think the world's coming to an end. They think, like, Georgia, and then they didn't say a thing about Kansas whenever they passed theirs. And that's only been 2 years ago. And it's totally amazing. And then we heard South Carolina when they got their restaurant carry.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everybody was screaming, oh, my goodness. North Dakota, at almost the exact same time, allowed restaurant carry, and nobody said a word about it. It was never in the news.
It wasn't. No.
So you got to watch what you read out there. They do a lot of screaming, and like I say, there's a lot of information out there that really isn't correct. And even I just read an article today about city government didn't know the laws. The city police didn't know the laws on open carry in Wisconsin.
Well, sure. That's, you know, a lot of times people think that the police know all the carry laws, and oftentimes they don't.
No. No, they don't. And this is what I tell. I've been instructing students for 15, 16 years now. And I tell them all, I say, you know, I live in a rural county. There's 1,300 people in a county I live in.
Yeah.
That's a lot of people. That's a whole county, though. And around here, it's no problem. All these deputy sheriffs and all the police officers, most of them shoot all the time. But you get to the big cities, and a lot of these police officers never fired a firearm or they become a police officer.
And then they'd only do it once or twice a year. That's it.
Yeah, and once or twice a year. And I said, now what do you think they're going to see when I see my 1911 cocked on my hip?
Yep.
You got that thing cocked, ready to shoot me. You know, I can see that coming. So, you know, you got to think about these things. You got to remember who you're dealing with, because a lot of people, they didn't grow up with firearms. They, especially people who lived in the cities, in the major cities. They never got the chance to go out and shoot firearms. They never had a chance to go out and, you know, plank around and do that. And it's a huge difference.
Well, Gary, I didn't know you were going to talk about this, about people who didn't grow up with guns, but it fits perfect with the previous segment that I've already recorded. That's going to be on about, you know, for 9 minutes before I play your interview here.
Mm-hmm.
So here comes the question. Given the fact that we have so many folks that have not grown up around guns, including even maybe some of the police officers that are actually, you know, patrolling the streets, I had a listener ask me whether it was regarding kids, and his question was whether it's a smart idea to lock up your guns and keep them away from kids. Now, many times on this show, I've said that I believe in gun-proofing your kids instead of kid-proofing your guns. I think it's important to train your kids. But I also think that it's important because there's a lot of irresponsible people that don't live in the rural country of West Virginia like you're in,
mm-hmm.
and they live in a city, and, well, maybe their kid grew up around firearms, but maybe his friends that he brings over have not. So how do you feel about this issue?
Well, the thing of it is, you're responsible for your firearms. The person that owns them is responsible. As long as you have control of your firearm. My firearm's on my hip right now, and it stays there. The only time it comes off my hip is when I go to the shower or when I go to bed. That's it.
Right.
And the thing of it is, I have control of it. I have total control when it's on my hip. My grandkids are in and out of here all the time. They all see my firearm. I got a 7-year-old, 8-year-old grandson. But 2 years ago, I actually was using a BB pistol and a BB rifle, teaching him to shoot and teaching him to end. He was six and a half years old, and when he went home, they was watching on TV, and this 6-and-a-half-year-old boy told his dad, he's not supposed to have his finger on the trigger.
Oh, that's beautiful. So, that's beautiful.
And so, and that's the thing. And I told him, you know, if you see a firearm, don't touch it. Run and tell an adult. You ask him, that's what he'll tell you. Keep your finger off the trigger. Keep it pointed in a safe direction. And, you know, you teach them when they're young. My son now, my youngest son, is 31. And he is the safest person with a firearm I know. And the reason of it is, that's all he ever knew. And that's the hardest thing for adults, is we hate to change. And we hate, the way we did things before is the way we do them. When I was young, went hunting with my father for the first time, he said, don't point it at anybody.
Yep.
That was my instructions. And things have changed a lot in the last 55 years, you know, and when it comes to firearms. But no, you're responsible for firearms. I never worried about my children when they were growing up. But I have a gun safe, and I kept them all locked up because there was a lot of teenagers in and out of my house all the time.
That's my point. And what about the teenagers that maybe have not been taught about guns?
Right, absolutely. And my son had a friend, his best friend's perfect example. His dad and mom didn't like guns. He never had guns, and he'd come out, he'd want to see the guns, and Charlie would say no. So, you know, and finally, when he got big enough, I asked his parents, and they said, sure, and I let him shoot. He's a state trooper today in West Virginia.
Wow.
So, that was a good thing. He came out the house, I taught him how to shoot. I even had a holster. He was a southpaw, and I'm righty, but I got one southpaw holster, and I had the same firearm. Well, I had a Smith & Wesson 39-14, which they was carrying a 45-53 then, I think, is what the state police in West Virginia were carrying it. Same manual of arms, exact same gun, except the 45 just bigger. And, yeah, it worked fine. But the laws, and we just mentioned a state trooper, you know, I make it a point all the time. I talk to a lot of the local police officers. But every time I run the police officer somewhere, I'll ask them questions. And I found out that the state police, they know exactly where to look to see if West Virginia honored a permit. I've talked to deputy sheriffs and local police and say, how many permits does West Virginia honor? They go, none. They don't know. And you know, I think West Virginia right now honors 24, 26. I'd have to look.
But they didn't. But they didn't know that, did they?
But they don't know that. That's the thing. And the thing of it is, they don't deal with the problem that much, so they don't know.
Right. Right.
And that's one. That's the reason I have the site, is so people go out and it's a place to start. Yeah, I think it's a good place to start.
I think it's the best place to start.
You gotta learn to crawl. You gotta crawl first, then you'll show you can walk. And the more you learn, you don't know.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what you get into, that's the way it is. And when you get to studying the laws on firearms, I just tried to stay mainly with concealed carry. I added a little section on each state on open carry, but it's very small, gives basic information, tells you to look elsewhere, and gives you some places to look. Because everybody kept asking, where's your open carry? I said, we mainly try to stay with concealed carry. I was never a big fan of open carry.
Right.
I've changed my mind on that. As Obama would say, and the left would say, I evolved.
Yeah. That's true. You evolved, right? It's
instead of change and flip-flopping, I evolved.
You're an evolving work in progress.
It's done a lot of good in a lot of places. It's also got some bad press, but it's brought the discussion out, and people are talking about it all the time now. And that's good.
Yeah, it is. Gary, I got a question. Have you ever just kind of scratched your head when you look at some of this state reciprocity stuff? And have you ever said, what a complete and total mess?
Well, the thing of it is, most of the states are doing a very good job of it. And it's, except for the Pennsylvania Attorney General now, she rewrote the reciprocity agreement, so it's only resident permits from Arizona and Virginia and places because people were carrying to Pennsylvania with them because she knew she couldn't get the law changed. But most of the states are pretty good at doing that. You know, you got to look at some of these states. There's 18, 17 or 8, I have to look at. Right out there.
There's we had a little bit of a loss in connection. Say that again. There's 17 or 18 what?
It's 17 or 18 of the states will honor any other state's permit. And then in Alaska, you can carry, anyone can carry in Alaska if they're 21 and can own a firearm. They can carry concealed in Alaska.
Yeah.
Same with Arizona, same with Vermont. Wyoming residents can carry in Wyoming with no permit in Wyoming. People visiting from out of state, that's only for residents of Wyoming.
Right.
But when it comes to reciprocity, there's a few states that kind of screw you, but a lot of it's written in their laws, too. Like Florida, they can only honor resident permits. That's right in their laws. So in South Carolina's and Colorado's and Michigan's. But now New Hampshire, they only honor resident permits, and it's not in their law. That's their handgun unit up there decided that.
Yeah. Well, and see, and this is the craziness of it, Gary. You're talking about it. I'll give you an example. Here's the craziness of it. You mentioned the state of Washington earlier.
Uh-huh.
Washington will not honor my Texas resident permit, but they will honor my Utah non-resident permit. Now, go figure. They'll honor my Utah non-resident, but they won't honor my Texas resident. I scratch my head and I go, what is up with this kind of stuff? Why do we have so much confusion with all this reciprocity?
Again, it's in the laws, and I do believe, I don't look at this out that much. My job is to report who honors who. I don't look at all the criteria that different states got to have. Washington has some criteria, just like Wisconsin does. Wisconsin says you got to have a national instant and a next check run, and I think there's another background check run, because they honor five different states from a certain date, because that's when they let the state change their law and run the proper background checks that their law says they have to run before they can honor them.
Yeah.
And I do believe Washington State requires a 24-hour hotline where they can I can't swear to this. I'm not sure, but this is what I think, okay? They require a 24-hour hotline so they can check a permit. And I think there has to be a mental background check run on for mental problems. I think that's two of the requirements in Washington. It's something like that. But they do have some requirements before they can honor a state, and that's what's slowing them down.
But what's interesting, though, is here in Texas we have, you know, I mean, you have to meet some requirements. You got to meet some pretty, what I think are, I mean, I was going to say stiff requirements. They did shrink the hours of the class,
mm-hmm.
but it wasn't too difficult for me to get my Utah non-resident mm-hmm. way back when I got it either, which is kind of strange. But it's, well, how do you feel about the issue of national reciprocity?
I'm torn on that. You know, I talk to different people, some big people in the right to keep and bear arms, and they're for it. My problem with the feds is I don't like anything they do, and what the feds give you, they can take away.
Right.
And, you know, look at some of the things they're doing now, and look what they could do if they wanted to, so I'm torn there. And it'd be different if the states weren't doing a good job, but I can legally carry a firearm in 40 states.
Yeah, so can I. 40, 42, so, 42 for
well,
me.
I gave up my Massachusetts permit years back because it was costing me $150, $200 a year, and it wasn't worth it.
Right.
But and now you got to go to Massachusetts. Then why couldn't I? I did it by mail. But you know, I got a permit in Massachusetts to carry a concealed firearm, and a lot of people in Massachusetts couldn't get one.
Yeah, so, in fact,
it is strange. Like I say, there's a lot of strange things like that out there, and that's another reason for the site. So it gives you a good overview and other places to go to learn more about the law. So the states are really good about having frequently asked questions, what they get asked all the time. Some of them are really short. Some of them get really wordy. But you mentioned Texas and honoring other states. You know, Texas unilaterally honors Maryland and New York and New Jersey. And
right.
And they did it to all those states that didn't have reciprocity in their law.
Well, and here's the interesting thing.
Here's something else interesting about Texas. I was mentioning Washington before. Washington will not honor a Texas license, but Texas honors Washington's licenses. So go figure. Hey, Gary, you mentioned something earlier that I like when I brought up national reciprocity. You mentioned that, you know, you're uncomfortable with things that the federal government does. That's what you said, right?
Yes.
Yeah, and I agree. You know, I had somebody email me one time and they said, Bob, what do you care about who actually puts through a national reciprocity law? At least we have national reciprocity. And I said, what I care about is I don't want the federal government getting involved in the gun legislation business. How do you feel about that?
I'm very torn because what the feds can give, the feds can take away. And why we want to let the feds get their fingers in it? The states are doing a great job. I believe the states are doing a very good job. And you're not going to change some of these other states. And if they would get national reciprocity, some of these states, like New York and New Jersey especially, would go crazy and they would just put all kinds of restrictions on. I can see that happening.
I could see that too.
And that there would be a huge reaction to it in some places. Maryland would be another one. Massachusetts would probably be another one. The May issue states would be the big problem. And you would just hurt the people in those states, although New Jersey doesn't have, you know, anybody hardly carrying at all, but they're not going to recognize anybody else permit for a New Jersey resident, so it's not going to help them at all. I'm torn. I'm really torn because I've talked to some people in the Right to Keep and Bear Arms orgs, some of the national orgs and other people, and they're for it.
Yeah. I'm like you. I'm kind of torn because I like the idea. National reciprocity is a great idea, but something makes me uncomfortable about the Congress in Washington, D.C. getting together and voting on it and the president signing it. This president would not sign it, but maybe a future would sign it. Something about, like you said, the federal government getting involved in that makes me nervous.
Yes, it makes me really nervous, too. It would also be different if the states weren't doing a great job with it, too.
Right.
And it's getting better every day. Just like today, Washington now will honor Kansas. It's happening more and more often. A good thing to do on the website is just to show you how reciprocity really is very prevalent. When you go to handgunlaw.us, over in the left column, beside the map, it says, states honoring my license and license my state to honor.
Okay.
You gotta click on them and check them out and just see how many states honor other states. It is amazing. It's a huge list of what states honor other states. And there's also, I put a number before each state that shows you how many states honor them, or if you're looking at the other copy of what states they honor, how many states they honor. And some of them numbers are really big.
Yeah.
You don't honor all.
I'm looking at it right now, and boy, there are some big numbers. And those are the numbers of states. Like, for example, Louisiana, 38 states. Michigan, 39 states.
Honor their permit. That makes 40 states. If you're a resident of Michigan, you can carry 40 states with just your Michigan permit.
Exactly. Tennessee, 38 states.
So it's working very well. There are just a few states that don't have very many. I think the lowest number now, states honoring other states, is the minimum you can get recognized in is about 19. If you have a permit from any state, you're good in about 19 other states. And it's really, really amazing how great a job the states are doing. Now, there's a few states that don't honor very many. New Hampshire, no, not New Hampshire. Washington State goes to 13 now.
And Vermont, there is no permit needed.
Right, no permit needed. And that's another question, too. You know, Vermont residents really pay a huge price for not being able to get a permit in their home state.
Yeah.
Because they're the law states they can't carry in then. They can never carry in Michigan. because Michigan doesn't recognize non-residents and won't issue to non-residents. Colorado's another one. South Carolina, you can get a non-resident rent in South Carolina, but you got to own property in South Carolina and pay property taxes on it before you can get a non-resident permit in South Carolina.
Oh, that's ridiculous.
So it hurts Vermont. Alaska does it the right way. If you're going to have it that way, if you're a citizen of Alaska, you can carry in Alaska if you're 21 with no permit. Alaska has very stiff criteria to get a Alaska concealed carry permit, and the reason they wrote it like that was for one reason only. They said the people who want to carry in as many states as they could, so they made it that way so they could get as many states as they could to honor them. So they met the criteria of all the different states. So Arizona's actually did the same thing, but they're loosening their restrictions now, and there's a few states that have dropped their Nevada dropped their Arizona.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's one or the other, but the states are doing a really good job.
Well, they are. The lowest number I see, you're right, is 19 by Illinois.
Right.
And so, in other words, Illinois, if you have an Illinois license, you can carry in 20 states. And same with Puerto Rico. If you have a Puerto Rico license, you can carry in 20 states.
Mm-hmm. See, that's the thing about the possessions. A lot of people don't realize is, you know, you got Guam and American Samoa and Northern Marianas and Puerto Rico and the U.S. Virgin Islands. Everybody who is a resident of those things, they are United States citizens.
Right.
In federal law, any time that they say state, they mean the possessions, too.
Right. It applies to the possessions.
Right. So, but then when you talk about reciprocity, I was talking to a guy in Indiana, and their handgun place, and it takes help with their handgun law there in Indiana. I said, well, you do know that Indiana, the law states, they don't honor any other state's permit or foreign government-issued permit.
Interesting.
It is interesting.
Yeah.
And he didn't even know that, and he looks at the law in Indiana all the time. So, but I tell people, handgunlaw.us, in my opinion, is the most up-to-date and has the most information with the most links to get to other places. Is it perfect? No, because it doesn't answer all your questions. You can't answer all the questions, and everybody has. But there's a lot of people out there who have websites trying to give gun laws, especially for district state. They give some pretty good information. But with the mobile devices now, everybody wants an app. And I have about every CCW app out there on my little Nexus 7. A couple of them are pretty good. Some of them are really poor.
Yeah.
So you have to watch what you're getting into. And when you go to handgunlaw.us, if you're not wanting to look around and take some time, you're not going to see what you need to see. And you have to read. Again, I believe people that have all these handheld devices, they're used to instant gratification. It's amazing. You can say, Google, how far is it to the moon? And Google tells you. You know? And you can do that, you know, with Siri, you know, with the iPhone. You know, you can ask her a question and she'll give you an answer to questions just like that. But when it comes to the gun laws, it can't be that simple because every state is different. Every state has different laws, worded different. And so it's up to you to know the laws of the state you're in. Ignorance of the law is no excuse. I know we've all heard that a million times.
That's right.
And so that's the reason the site's there, to help people. Because Steve and I both are NRA instructors, and we know that the information is needed. That's why we don't have any ads. We just started taking donations. And we're taking our costs doubled.
Yeah.
Back when Sandy Hook happened, our hits went sky high. We actually went offline because we was over bandwidth, and we had to expand our bandwidth.
I'm sure you did.
So, and our hits are really going up even today. But anyways, we do take some donations. It doesn't pay for everything, but it helps. And we appreciate that.
And please, and I want to urge listeners to please donate to Gary's site, handgunlaw.us. How do they do that? I'm looking at your site right now. Where do I see that?
Well, on the main page, it says right there. It says want to keep online.
Well, there it is. There it is. Okay.
Right there. It tells you how to do it. But, again, when Steve and I set the site up, there's a few things we talked about up front. And the first thing was no chat form. Everybody says, what are your chat format? They're too hard to police. And there's too many people out there who want to post inappropriate stuff.
Yeah.
And so you've got to have people police them. And then you get people police them, they start talking, oh, you're violating my First Amendment rights. You don't have any First Amendment rights when it comes to my chat form or anybody's chat form.
That's right.
That's only against the government.
That's right.
You know, that's the only thing the First Amendment applies to is the government. But anyways, we said that. We said no ads. And we said we try to stay mainly with concealed carry. That was the criteria. And we've stayed that way pretty much. We tried it. Like I say, I did add an open carry section because I just kept getting asked so many times. Like on a state page, you know, it asks about state parks, rest areas along the interstate, national port. I got that question all the time. So that's why that information is on that page. On every one of the state pages, because that's a question. Can I carry in the state park? Hey, can I carry in the rest area? Some states you can.
Right.
Some states you can. And so that's the reason most of the information is on each state page, because that's the question I got, the information I wanted, and this kind of stuff.
Yeah, and it's good info. I mean, what I like is you put a lot of the laws right there without having to click on the state link, and then if they want to dig deeper, they can do that.
Absolutely. Especially, one of the last things I added, I think after open carry, maybe it was before open carry, right in there somewhere. I'm getting old and senile. but I put in there the Emergency Powers Act of the government in the state, because Florida's going through that right now, and their bill was killed about carrying on a declared emergency or hurricane or whatever. And I think they worded it a little wrong. Most of the states now have a in the government. They don't allow them to ban firearms or carry firearms. And in Florida, if there's a declared national disaster or a disaster in the state of Florida and the governor declared one, they can stop everybody even who has a permit from carrying a handgun.
Yeah, I don't like that.
And that's and the way Florida tried to put it through, they wanted anybody to be able to carry, which the reason I think that the Florida legislature didn't go along is they allowed that anyone to carry, even if they didn't have a permit during the emergency, then said, why do we need a permit for it? And I think that was one of the biggest reasons they got killed down there.
Oh, okay. Well, you know, this is good stuff, Gary. I appreciate you coming back on and getting more into it, especially with, you know, explaining your site and some of the new laws that have changed and some of the states that have been added and so forth. And so you mentioned apps a little while ago. What apps do you like?
Well, GunSafe actually links to handgunlaw.us pages. They link to us.
Who does?
GunSafe. They linked to our pages and
okay.
They wanted the, you know, and everything. We said you're allowed to link to anybody you want to. I mean, that's part of the internet's links,
right?
And but they linked right to our pages, so they have our most updated pages. We actually had a national outfit take all of our pages and put them on their site and claim them as their own. Even changed some wording around so it didn't look like ours. And once we contacted them, they took it all down. But they were even charging to see some of the information on handgun law that we give away free.
Yeah, that's well. Hopefully, a reasonably intelligent person can figure out that they don't need to pay for that.
I haven't heard much about this organization here in the last 6 months. But
yeah,
some of the apps out there there's a couple free of them that's really, really pretty good. I don't think any of them except for GunSafe because they link to us. That's the reason I think they're the most up to date. Some of the other ones are a little slow at updating stuff. It takes time. Again, like I said previously, putting the information out there is simple. That's the easy part.
Yeah.
Keeping it updated that takes all the time.
Yeah, and
that's the big problem.
And let me extend a thank you, Gary, to on behalf of me and all my listeners, you know, and even people that don't listen to this show. I've seen them post on forums that they really appreciate what you do. Your resource is tremendous. And if it's not perfect, it's pretty close to it. So
none of them's perfect, and I do get a lot of nice comments. I run a actually, like I was telling you about earlier, about how the computers are making it easier. I have a add-on that I scan about 180 different websites by one click, and it highlights and tells me if that web page has changed, and highlights on it what has changed. And that's really saved me a lot of time in looking at reciprocity changes and stuff, and that kind of stuff. I spend a lot of time, I run searches 3 or 4 times a day for handgunlaw.us to see what people are saying. In the past, I would find out people would say something like, well, he left that part out, he should have put that in there, he should have put that, and I've made changes to the site because of that.
Yeah.
You know, in the last year, I have not found one comment about something that was an error or needed added or needed taken out. I haven't seen one. Now, I'm not saying there's not out there, because whenever you run a search with Google search, and that's, I'm using their scaled down version of it, and just searching for what I want. I just searched for the last 24 hours also, things mentioned. It doesn't, a lot of websites don't get checked, especially chat forms and stuff, but it does check a lot of them. And I read a lot of chat forms. I don't chat as much on them as I want to. I mainly look at them, looking for information.
That's
what I spend all my time doing, is looking for information. And I put, I probably average 2, 3, 4 hours a day.
Well, we appreciate what, you know, what you and Steve Akins do. We appreciate it a lot. It's huge. I mean, 2 or 3 hours a day. I'm surprised that you can get it all done in 2 or 3 hours a day. That's pretty good.
Oh, it's better now. The good thing about it is there's only a few states that do any updating on their web pages on the weekends. They usually do it during the week. So Saturdays and Sundays are my quiet days when I look at other things. I have about 70 state chat forums, which I'm a member of every one of them. And I try to check them. I can't get to them as often as I want to, but they're great places to go for me to ask questions and find information. It's hard to beat, especially an instructor in a known state, knowing what the laws and stuff are, knowing the ins and outs.
Absolutely.
I do get a lot of emails. I answer every email. I answer every legitimate email. And I think people appreciate that. I'm amazed at the amount of people who type in, boy, I didn't expect an answer that quick. And so that helps me a lot, because I think I have a good rapport with a lot of people out there who help me. And I can't do this by myself. I could not do this by myself.
No way.
It takes... And just people giving me a heads up. And a lot of times I've already seen it, but I thank people. In all my years, I've only fired off 2 what I'd call nasty emails to people. And that's because they really got nasty to me in their first email to me, and they were completely 100% wrong.
Yeah, isn't that the way it sometimes turns out that way?
Hit me on the wrong day, the wrong time, and I got mad. But I can remember both of them very visibly. But I try to treat people with the same respect that they want to be treated as, and I'll tell you, it pays off. It pays off. I just had a guy send me a scan of his permit, and he didn't take a word or anything out of it. He just sent me the whole thing. I completely changed it. It's going to be added to the site. You know, it's a new Missouri permit that the sheriffs are issuing. That'll be on the site tomorrow night. But he said, like I said, I changed every one of them. It's my name on there. All the information is made up except for my name. I even make myself a few pounds lighter.
Well, you should do that, yes. Gary, thanks a lot. I appreciate it. And, you know, what you do, we thank you, and thanks for coming on and sharing some good information with us.
But I would like to end with, at the bottom of the page, it says contact us.
Yes.
Cornette, send me an email. I read every one of those emails.
And if and by the way, your email address is admins@handgunlaw.us.
Right. And the thing of it is, the only thing I ask people
people out there do this. Put something interesting in the subject line that tells them what you're wanting about, because I get a lot of spam. When you put your email address out there on the web, you get a lot of spam.
Yeah, you can either go to the website and hit contact us, or you can just email admins with an S, admins@handgunlaw.us.
Yes, and like I say, Andrew, I try to do it. I keep the mail open all the time on my desktop. Every time I walk by the computer, I look through the mail and stuff. I don't usually get big wordy answers. And there are times I'll tell people, says, I don't know. You know, you have to check. A lot of times I say, you have to see an attorney. I'm really surprised at some of the questions I do get even a lot of attorneys could be interested. We'll have to research this.
We'll have to look into that, right?
Yeah. So, but again, any comments, any suggestions are always welcome. Changes in your state laws. The big changes, they're easy to see. They're all over the news media and all the right to keep and bear arm organizations talking about it. It's the little changes that's very difficult to see. And a case in point of that is down in Georgia a few years back. You weren't allowed to carry your concealed firearm at a boat launch ramp. And I think it was, I remember right, I think it was a DNR lake down there.
Mm-hmm.
That was off limits. Well, they changed the law and did away with it. And the guy sent me an email and said, hey, you're the one that got there. And I looked, and even the link I had to the law worked, and it went there, and it changed, and they deleted that prohibition. So those are the little things that's hard to see. The big things just stick out like a sore thumb because there's so many people talking about them.
Yeah, and you do a pretty good job with the little things, too.
Right, I try, but you got to keep looking a lot of different places, and people keep mentioning things, and people send me emails, but again, I want to thank everybody out there who's sent me information. There have been thousands of them, and I appreciate it. I can't do this by myself. This is impossible for somebody to do by themselves. If I didn't have help, I couldn't do this. So the credit belongs to the people out there who have helped me over the years and sent me information that I would have had a hard time finding. It's even in the laws, and then they've been, a lot of people don't realize a lot of the law is in the administrative rules.
Yep, that's right.
And they don't realize that. They think if it's not in the statutes, it's not there, but there's a lot of, some states don't have any administrative rules when it comes to concealed firearms or firearms.
Yeah, that's correct.
A lot of states have a whole lot of them in there. So, and that's the same as law. The administrative rules are the rule of law. So that's people, the more you learn, the more you learn you don't know. And it doesn't matter what you're doing. But I thank you for your time tonight, Bob. Really appreciate it.
Thank you, Gary. I appreciate it. Once again, folks, his website is handgunlaw.us. And Gary does such a great job. Please make sure that you, at the top of the page, give him a donation. Click on that link there where it says want to help keep him online. Thanks, Gary. I appreciate it. Thanks.
Yes, thank you.
You're the best. All right. Thank you, Gary. That was better than a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. I got peanut butter and jelly sandwiches on my mind, folks. I don't know why. I can't eat them anymore, but I sure love them. And I used to live on those things for a while, and now I can't eat them anymore because of all my dietary restrictions. But it was a good interview, Gary. Thank you very much. Once again, folks, check out that website, handgunlaw.us. It's one of the go-to websites. Help him out. You know, but for concealed carry law and transportation of guns and traveling with guns, that's a great resource. And Gary's like me. What he puts together is kind of like a labor of love. He doesn't make a whole ton of money at it. And, you know, you noticed in the interview, he said he doesn't have a bunch of advertisers up on his website. And I don't have a bunch of advertisers on this podcast. So that's why if you consider supporting me by buying through my Amazon store, if you're going to make Amazon purchases, or joining the Shooters Club. Ben Branham and I are going out. By the time you hear this, we will have already filmed a lot of new video for the Shooters Club
podcast. So for those of you members of our Shooters Club, the exclusive video website where you can get, where you can watch good instructional videos that Ben Branham and I put together on how to better your shooting skills and conceal carry. It's only $75 per year or $8 a month. Either one. You can pick either option. June 30th, a lot of great giveaways. You'll see it on the Shooters Club page, giving away a gun and a bunch of other stuff on June 30th to any active Shooters Club member. And, of course, consider signing up for the classes that I'm involved in teaching. June 7th and 8th in Centerton, Arkansas. Still spots available. I'm pretty sure that class is half full, or maybe a little bit more than half full. June 7th and 8th, it's a great weekend with... The instructors will be myself, Ben Branham, and John Hadaway. So me, Ben Branham, and John Hadaway, we're teaching that class June 7th and 8th up in Centerton, Arkansas at the Nighthawk Custom Training Academy. You can sign up for that by going to my website and just clicking on the class link up at the top of the page. Okay, now before I end the show, here's a special announcement. This is important stuff here. Here's a special announcement from Larry at the Power Factor Show. He called in this voicemail. This sounds like this is very, very important for me and all of you listening to this show to help out. We've got to stop this. Here you go. Here's Larry from the Power Factor Show.
Hi, Bob. Larry here from Power Factor Show. Hey, I wanted to give you and your listeners a heads up on a legal case that is pending right now that could end podcasting as we know it. They're a company, I think they're called Personal Audio, and they claim they have a patent on pre-recorded, sequentially numbered, downloadable shows, casting industry now, and they're doing that by first going after Adam Carolla. Adam Carolla has the largest listener base and most downloaded podcast in the world, and they have presented him with a lawsuit asking for $3 million or else they'll take him to court. He's decided to fight these guys, and the attorneys have estimated a $1.5 million cost to fight these guys in court. So he's calling them patent trolls because they own patents or have bought up. These are companies that buy up patents, and they don't really use the patent. They just use it to go after people that infringe on these patents that they've purchased or that they own. So if your listeners are interested, please consider donating on against this cause or for this cause against these guys. The place to donate is called is a website, fundanything.com/patent trolls. Or patent troll, something like that. Look it up. I posted a link on the Power Factor Show Facebook page, so you can check that out. So asking your listeners, please consider donating. This could end shows like yours and mine. And these guys, if Adam Carolla falls, then these guys are going to go after everybody else and work their way down to, you know, the little guys like us, and we'll be, you know, out of a hobby. I'm not going to say out of a job. We don't make, you know, any money really doing this, but it's something we enjoy doing. It's something our listeners enjoy. And we'd like to keep doing what we're doing. So please consider donating. fundanything.com/patent troll. And I donated $50 myself. So check that out. And thanks a lot. Enjoy your show. And hope everything you and your family is going to get better for you with your health situations. Thanks, Bob.
Thank you, Larry. I'll be stepping up real soon and making a donation and helping the cause. We cannot have podcasting and our free speech rights hindered by, looks like, one organization that thinks that, you know, and if this guy doesn't even put together a podcast, is what I understand. He doesn't even podcast, yet he wants to have the rights to all the podcasting. That's kind of ludicrous to me, I think. So we got to get on top of that. We can't have podcasts shut down. There's so many good ones out there with such good information. Just can't do that. So, with all that said, thanks for listening to another episode of your weekly Handgun World podcast. I'm Bob Main. The reason I carry a gun is because I can't carry a cop. The loudest sound a shooter hears is a bang when he's only expecting a click. or a click when he's expecting a bang. Shoot straight. Shoot safe. Talk to you next week. Goodbye. A generation